I think after games, sometimes you are in an emotional state that you can't get your job done straight after the game. So I don't try to. I wait till 24 hours or a bit longer. But after the game, I knew that, let's just say Derby would have beat us 2 or 3 nil. You know, then it would have been game over. I really felt that. I really felt that after a 6-0 thumping, where the fans and everyone in the stadium stayed with us and really supported the lads' effort, then to go twice on the bounce at home and get beat to Derby, it would have been a story over. I really did feel that.
Would you be down?
I think it'd been tough to come back from. I really do. If we'd have got beat and convincingly beat, so there was a real edginess to the performance. And we got over that. The first half, we got over that. And I understand why the boys were nervous because, you know, like I said, to get thumped and the emotional attachment to the game, the 6-0, was a tough one to take. So I didn't know how the boys to react. And then, you know, to know that Bobby's had to come off, an experienced player, Andre Jones come on, Ruben Lazarus never played a game at left back. It was all hands to the pump. And after the game, I was proud of the players, genuinely proud. So I showed that, told them that. And highlighted what we have done so far. You know, I think too many people can ruminate and say, listen, how much has that last goal impacted on your season? Well, how much has the positivity that we've come across could impact on the next three games? So it's the way you look at it. I went home really clear what we needed to do against Nottingham Forest. And it didn't really change anything. You know, we're in that bottom three. We're still in the bottom three. And got an incredible chance on Saturday to come out of that.
Is it a lot about the mental aspect of it then and what's in your head? Because you saying that if you'd have lost maybe 2 or 3 nil, then it could have been over. Yet the only real difference, I suppose, in terms of the points, in getting a point, is 1 point. That's the only difference you're saying there between being down and maybe having a chance.
Yeah, but I think sometimes, you know, realism then starts kicking in and you start thinking, do the fans stay with you? You know, we've got another home game and how do the fans react to that? Bristol City's obviously gone down with a whimper and I didn't want that to happen, I really didn't. And I've been guarding against that, the fact that now we're staying in this fight, we've started with the impossible and we want to achieve the impossible. So, you know, I've remained focused on that, the management team have and the players have. So, and we've had a brilliant meeting this morning, you know, we're so encouraged about the potential players we've got coming back and that we can, you know, we can bounce into the next three games. So, it's been a positive 24 hours and, like, you know, that goal can go one of either two ways. Depends who it is at the helm, you know, and it can wreck you, it can break you, but that it'll galvanise us.
Which players are back in contention then for the next three? Because you've got a few out who you were hoping to have back.
Yeah, I've got Rob Edwards, who's potentially going to be available for Saturday. We've got, obviously, TK, he served his one-game ban. Kelvin's looking good on assessment, so Kelvin will be in the fold. And you know, Dawson's had a great, he's been really upbeat today after sort of being down for a few days because he's not been able to take part. So, you know, Jim McNulty's had another good day of training today. So, you know, with the last three games, or certainly the last two games, we'll be getting a lot more bodies back.
Where's Kelvin Atuhu at this stage?
He's in contention for Saturday, there's no doubt about that. He's done a good training session today. We've got to assess him tomorrow. If he comes through tomorrow's session, then a bit like Martin Crane, he's a very similar injury to Crane. So hopefully we'll have Kelvin available for this Saturday. And, you know, like I said, with the introduction of Andre and Ruben into the fold and Ruben coming off the treatment table early and doing what he did, it's you know, it's given me great spirit.
Is Bobby Hassel out for the season then because of this hamstring injury?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's fair to say that any hamstring injury, it's usually 2 to 4 weeks, depending on the grade or the tear. So, you know, even the minimum tear or the slightest tear, you're looking at 2 weeks, or you're in real danger of sort of re-injuring the site. So, you know, Bobby's out. His experience will still carry weight through the squad. And, you know, it's like all these players, they want to commit. You know, Kelvin Atuhu, the words and the way he spoke to Jacob Mellis, and, you know, at half time, he was brilliant.
What did he say?
Just, we've got sort of three games left, you know, and you've got it. Just give us everything. You know, this is Kelvin Atuhu. This is a player who, on his way out, and Mel's told me this morning about, you know, that's the sort of togetherness that's in this squad. You know, they want to do well for each other. They're backing each other. And it was just a nice touch. You know, once we'd said our words, you know, Kelvin to go and back him up and to go and reassure him that, listen, you have got everything. You've got the lot, and Mel's can be a match winner, and Mel's will definitely play a part in the next three games, winning us games.
Does that make your life a bit easier and the coaching staff a bit easier, because you haven't constantly got to be the one sort of pushing the players along? If the players are willing to do it themselves, it makes it a bit easier.
Yeah, it does, and then that's the culture that you're trying to grow at a football club, the culture that you're trying to set, especially if you want to develop younger players. And I think if you do, you've got to have them leaders within your dressing room. You've got to have players who are not scared of the challenge of younger players coming through. They embrace the challenge, and it gives them competition. And that's what I think we've got. That's the healthy thing we've got at the football club. That they don't have to. You don't have to be 34, 36, 38 year old to lead. You know, you can be 22, 23 and still lead. And that's what I expressed to that middle group of players. That now it's your time now to lead, and you've got experience. You might have 5 or 6 years experience, which is a third of your years in football. So go and lead. And they are doing so. You know, I've always said, as an assistant manager and a manager, the most difficult players are the players out of the team. The players that have been out of the team at this football club while I've been in charge have been a credit. And they've not given me any problems. They've wanted to be a part of it, and they've wanted to fight for this cause.
Just how difficult was that task for Ruben Noble Lazarus, you know, given the opportunity in a crucial game to play in a position that's pretty unfamiliar to him? What kind of a challenge was that for the young guy?
I think it's bigger than a challenge, because I think now, certainly, all the staff will look different upon Ruben. The players are totally probably looking at him differently for what he went through, and to come off a treatment table a week early and do what he did, and to perform at that level at left back, that's took bravery. That's took an amount of bravery that, you know, I admire as much as anyone. But I think it's give him the belief that, you know, for me, it could be the making of Rubes. It could be the making of this of Rubes that has promised a lot, delivered sometimes, not been able to deliver, held himself back, been held back. And what Ruben needs to build his life experiences now in football, and that was one that he'll be able to draw back on, you know. And I'm hoping that it's give Ruben as much hope as it give me, because he's got a big future. We're working a lot on Rubes in other aspects of his game, and the mental side of it and the mental toughness is something he can only gain through experience.
Is it good that he's showing versatility as well? Because he came through as an attacking player predominantly.
Absolutely. You know, people told me when he first came that he's going to be a striker. I think he's learned his functionality as a left winger now, and you can trust him as a left winger. I think when we first come in, what we noticed about the academy kids is that they didn't really have a functionality or understand the job or an objective. So we've had to, you know, give the young players objectives, whether it's been John Stones, Danny Rose, Diggers, Ruben Lazarus. Give them that function. Let them know what you want out of them. And we've been able to do that. And for him to play left back now, and then next season potentially as a wing back, then, you know, we've unearthed something in Ruben. And you've got to be flexible in a small squad. You've got to have players who can play in a flexible system and a multi-positional, because in the modern day, on sometimes a lower budget than your other competitors, you have to have players who are diverse.
What kind of skill set do you want from a player to be able to feature as a wing back?
They've got to. It's three positions in one. You've got to be able to defend the defensive third and your far stick. That's key. The middle section of the pitch, you've got to be almost a midfielder. See passes, execute passes into front players. And then when you get into the last third as an attacker, your end product, your quality. And Ruben displays, you know, all them. The one that we're going to work with him is the defensive side. But, you know, he can play as a midfield player. He can play as a wide player. When he gets into the last third, he's got unbelievable quality. You know, some of the best in this league. His crossing's fantastic. And, you know, he'll sneak a goal as a left wing-back if we're adventurous. So I do see Ruben as a potential left-back, very much like the boy Bozo Djuru, who was at Birmingham and went to Wigan, who's developed into an incredible left-back. But it's a real intelligent position. That's why Goldie was so good at it. And John Stones, you know, at such a young age, to have the intelligence levels to play as a wing-back, I think that's what got him the move, because, you know, it's a real difficult position to play. It's halfway out a lot of the time. And, he does it. John and Goldie did it with ease. But we'll teach Ruben to be able to do it.
You gave Jones his opportunity from the bench, and he's a player when you brought to the club, you wanted to sort of work with him and try and develop him a little bit more. How has he come along since he's been here? Have you seen tangible progress there?
Yeah, you know, he's got all the physical attributes of a championship player. There's no doubt about that. And the league is physical. There's, you know, it's getting more physical. It's getting, there's more energy in it. The high intensity runs are stronger. And with Andre, we knew he could hit that side of it. Again, these players, you get them. They haven't been taught. They've just not been taught. The country, you know, we say that there's good coaches in this country. I beg to differ. I think there's coaches who are in jobs, coaches who just go to work to finish and then that's it. I don't think coaches really, you know, if you want to be the best at something, whether it's business or, you know, you want to be the best joiner, you've got to work it. You've got to put your 100 hours a week in. I think there's lazy coaches up and down the country. And, you know, he wasn't a player that knew his function. We've had to teach him that. We've put him in a coaching environment, in a development environment, and Eki's now, you know, his mentor and Binny's mentor, and he's come in. But, you know, it's, I don't mind if the development team, the under-21s, is getting beat if we've got four or five players in our squad. That's a success of a successful academy. You know, I wouldn't want the under-21s to win every game and then we're not producing players. So to have, you know, the players that was involved on Tuesday night, that's success for our football club. There's no doubt about that. But Andre Jones' success, he'll get that through. If he wants to learn, he wants to listen, he's in the right environment, and it's just how fast he'll pick up on the message that we're sending out.
In terms of the coaching sort of situation you're just referring to there, is that something that's more a problem in this country? Because it seems like there aren't many sort of British or even English coaches sort of coaching at the top level, or managers rather. Is that something that is, I don't know, it's maybe an issue, social issue in this country? What is it, the problem here?
I think we don't know what we want as a country. We don't know what we want. You look at all the Spanish teams, they play the way that Spain plays. And it's just an endemic problem in the country that, you know, we've not really got a style of play that the national team play. Then that, where does that come down to? Well, it comes down to the Premiership. But, you know, the money that's splashed around the Premiership, you have to get results. Then the Championship, 50 managers sacked, you've got to get results. So then you're driven by results as opposed to coaching and dealing with players. So right through the system is about winning, 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 not developing. And sometimes you've got to take a step back and develop. I mean, Crewe developed the best players. There's no doubt about that. They've got the best coaches. They've got, you know, Dario Grady, who oversees it. And they develop the best technical players. There's no doubt about that. So they've got something right. And everyone is trying, you know, produce a new model, something different out there. But I just don't think we've got an identity as a country where we're going. And that's probably the pressures of football management.
The pressures to win breed lazy coaches then?
It doesn't breed lazy coaches. It just breeds robots, you know, people who just want to... instead of coming up with something different or something new, just do something that is halfway house. I think a lot of the time it's halfway house, and it depends what you want. As a coach, when you sign up to it, you either want to develop players and really develop them to get them to a place where, you know, they've never been before, or you're just going to work. And I think a lot of people do just go to work.
You said after the game that the players were battling fatigue, that there'd been some game, you know, a lot of games in a close quarter. When there's something to fight for and there's three games to go, does that sort of drive, does the adrenaline force a player through to sort of get to the finish line and still achieve, despite the fact that they maybe are feeling quite tired at this stage?
Yeah, I think there's two different tiredness in there. There's the emotional tiredness, and which can cause that anxiety in a player's body. And then there's a physicality. Now, we know physically we're good and we know we're in a good place, but emotionally... I think the Crystal Palace and Cardiff games really took it out of us, you know, to celebrate or wanting to celebrate after the Cardiff game. You know, I've never seen a dressing room that's as quiet. They were physically and emotionally exhausted from the game and the events of the game. So, you know, and we definitely, the overspill was there in the Charlton game. We were leggy, but we got re-energised against Derby. And, you know, it was there for everyone to see. It was back in the second half to what we do. After a cagey first half, so that's all I can go off, you know, what we did in the Derby game. Lads have come in today very buoyant, very positive, and looking to get back on a training ground tomorrow.
Is this a similar test to the Crystal Palace and the Cardiff game, the match against Forest?
Well, you know the Billy Davies factor. Wow, he's a manager in the highest regard. He's gone in there and stimulated a team that you know, was underperforming and underachieving. And that's what Billy's about, you know, getting a group of players to overachieve. It's what we've had to do at this football club. So, you know, they'll be bright. They've got to win the game. They're at home. And, you know, they'll have to put a shift in against a Barnsley team that don't know when they beat them. And I'm looking forward to the game. But more importantly, I know that what we've got, and I know what we're good at. And if we're good at what we're good at, we're a match for anyone in this league.
Is it a good example of how this league is, though, that when he comes in, Billy Davis, they win 6 straight games, I think, look fantastic, look as if they're maybe even going to challenge the top 2, and then they don't win for a month, just like that? I mean, it just goes to show how quickly things can change.
I think the best managers in this league are finding consistency difficult, and there's only been one with Cardiff. They've really found consistency all season. Hull had a blip, but, you know, Steve's gotten back on it. But I think every other manager, apart from those two, are really struggling, you know, to find a consistent performance week in, week out to get you over the line. And, you know, that tells you everything about probably the strength and the spirit down at the bottom, and the teams that have took points, you know, and the fighting teams. And because it's been a lot longer to fight this season, because you've had to fight, you know, usually 3 teams are probably down by now, but there's still something in every game, and I think that's had an effect on the way the top's shaped up. So, you know, Billy's obviously in the last 5 games come against teams that are fighting for the championship status, or they want to get into the Premiership, and they found it difficult. So, you know, you're always only one goal away sometimes to changing the way your destiny is, and the way, you know, it'd be interesting to see what Leicester does now after that win against, positive result against Bolton. They might go and win the last 3 games because of that one result. And, you know, Bristol City had a massive push and done really well against us, won a few games, and then bam, bam, you know, they fell off. So, you know, you can't predict anything. That's what you can't predict in this league. You've just got to make sure that you're on form, make sure you're doing the right things, and that's what we'll be trying to do Saturday.
Have you ever known a season like this, whatever division it is?
No, I've not. No, no. These, you know, you're looking down the fixture list every week, probably from 6 weeks ago, and you can almost predict the result because you know where people they're planning for next season, players are out of contract, and you can feel an air of they've give up. You can't feel that. And the prize to get to the Premiership is massive. It's never been greater. The pressure on the managers has never been greater. And possibly the pressure to go out of the league has never been, you know, greater. So with financial fair play coming in, there's a different dynamic this year to this league. And it's added real competition. And that's what it's been. It's been the most competitive league in the world, without a shadow of a doubt. And I think the top teams have been surprised by that.
Brilliant. Thank you, David.